This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Figgy, let's hit him big time.
Because it's Friday, you ain't got no job, and you ain't got shit to do.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
The question is, how do the people feel about this? 713-572-4610. Shout out to all the loopholes. If you listen, you are a loophole.
With John Lopez and Landry Locker, you're in the loop on Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
Smokey, you're playing with my emotions. Replace Smokey with Astros. And you got my feeling on a football Friday. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Sports Radio 610. 34 days till the Texans take on the Kansas City Chiefs. And I'm used to the Texans playing with my emotions. Astros, this is a new feeling when it comes to the Astros. The Astros playing with my emotions. And I'm not really enjoying what I'm watching so far with the Astros heading into a series against the first place Oakland A's. We're about 25% through the season, and I'm already going to adjust my expectations, J-Lo.
Yeah, look, man, they let one slip away yesterday late. Pitching let them down, which I guess is supposed to should be understandable now at this point, huh? I mean, they've taken so many hits with their pitching staff. But then you look down the road, and their next series is – that's one thing about the shortened season. They get swept by the A's. It could be over as far as winning the division title.
See, I disagree with what you just said, though. We're a few minutes in the Friday show, and I disagree with you because Ryan Presley's not one of those guys that we don't have expectations for. This is supposed to be Old Faithful.
Well, this
and
is true.
Ryan Presley true. Yesterday comes in with a one-run lead in the
that
ninth.
Guy is awesome.
That should
he
be
is
church.
Awesome.
He used
awesome.
To be.
He used to be awesome, awesome.
You walk a guy, you allow 3 straight hits, you don't even get an out.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to give the pitching staff a break. If it'd been a kid, yeah. But Ryan Presley is supposed to be Old Faithful. And now there's talk that maybe Ryan Presley isn't getting enough work, and that's what it has to do with. So, yeah, I agree that the pitching staff, you have problems. But when you waste something like this, bottom mm-hmm. of the eighth, 2 outs, Jose Altuve has 3 hits. Up comes the baseball messiah. 4 bags, Mr. Bellhop. Go ahead style.
Baseball messiah.
2-2 to Bregman. Sends one pretty deep to left field. Peralta ranging back at the wall, and it's gone! Alex Bregman with a 2-run blast, and the Astros have regained the lead in the eighth.
That should have been it, right? I mean, that should have been it right there. You come in, no Osuna, but you come in, Presley, he's going to be the shutdown guy at the ends of games, and then all of a sudden it gets out of hand the other way.
It gets out of hand. You get the 1-run lead, and then you go into the bottom of the ninth. Ryan Presley on the mound, bases loaded. Just go ahead and kick me in the junk, please.
2-2. Calhoun down the right field line towards the corner. It's a fair ball, and the Diamondbacks will win the game, and they'll win the series. Their first series win of the year. They come back to win it on a Cole Calhoun walk-off, 5-4 Diamondbacks.
Man.
And now you're going to the Bay Area. You got Greinke on the mound. You got Fromber on the mound tomorrow. And then you're going to have our guy Christian Javier on the mound. And, I mean, this is one of those where after this series, you're going to be – you are going to be 25% through the season.
Yeah, Monday.
And I don't think it's going to get much – I don't think it's going to get easier. As a matter of fact, I think it's going to get worse. I think it's unrealistic to I think this bullpen has actually pitched as well as you can expect it to. Because as the season goes on, it actually becomes easier to hit these guys because there's more tape on them. And baseball players are sitting around their hotel right now. Mm-hmm. Like, what else do they have to do other than watch film on these guys? Like, I'm sure Blake Taylor, who had a pretty rough outing yesterday as well, I'm sure that the Diamondbacks had a decent idea of what he's about because all baseball players are doing is sitting around. So why not pop in the tape and check it out? That's what happens. Who's the best reliever of all time in baseball?
Mariano.
You know what his ERA was his rookie year?
What?
It was over 5.
Was it really?
It was over 5. After
I
that,
should have known that.
Now he was a starter, but after that it went to 2 and then it was below 2 for the remainder of his career. Best reliever of all time in baseball, his ERA was over 5 his rookie year.
Yeah. What about Eckersley? He's in the conversation too.
He started out as a starter though in Boston, right?
Yeah, oh, big and Cleveland.
Yeah, yeah,
wasn't he a starter in Cleveland too?
He went to Cleveland after Oakland and he was a closer.
Okay.
Come on, bro. Get your baseball.
I thought he was a starter in Cleveland,
too. I'm here for you, though.
You know how old I am?
Yeah.
Do you know how old I am, Figgy? I saw Dennis Eckersley when I was a kid. I saw Dennis Eckersley pitch for the San Antonio Brewers as a minor leaguer.
Wow. Wow. Now, that's
makes old. That makes you feel old.
That
when I saw Eckersley, who's been retired for a while. Pitch as a minor leaguer.
The whole point is that with this Astros bullpen, you're going to have 3-4 run leads because if Ryan Pressly is not going to be what Ryan Pressly is, even if these pitchers are giving you 6 strong innings, it's not realistic to expect the Astros to consistently hold these leads. So that's the reality. There's also something weird going on that we need to pay attention to a little bit.
Figgy got a haircut. Is
the
that
Astros lose. No, Figgy getting a haircut is not a strange thing, but the Astros lose. They're a .500 ball club right now, and they're 2.5 games back of the Oakland A's. As for the Texans, the Houston Texans are continuing training camp. Yesterday was the deadline opt-out. We didn't know if anyone else was going to opt out for the Texans. They had Eddie Vanderdoes, defensive lineman, opt out. However, everyone appears ready to go besides Vanderdoes. Here's Bill O'Brien talking about the Texans being ready to go and at full strength.
Everyone is here. Everyone's reported. Some guys are in different phases of, you know, different phases of corona testing and physicals and things like that, but everybody's here.
And that's really, really good news for a team, especially on the defensive side. Anybody else opting out on the defensive side would be a serious problem. They have a serious problem already. I mean, Eddie Vanderdoes, who most people may not even know, was a problem by himself just because of the position he played. Anyone else, and it would have been big trouble.
Yeah, Vanderdoes is just a guy. Problem.
Yeah, but he was going to be on the depth chart. And, oh, by the way,
come on,
it's all up here, Landry. When are you going to learn? When are you going to learn? It's all up here. I don't need this little fancy machine in front of me, but I use it to make sure I am correct when you say I am incorrect.
Okay.
Dennis Eckersley
okay.
started for 3 years in Cleveland.
When?
As a starter.
But then he went back?
He went to Boston and then Oakland and the Cubs.
Oh, see, yeah. Yeah, gone wrong right here.
It's all up here, buddy.
Well, actually gone here. There you go. You win.
Ooh, well, actually, guy.
Yeah, I just got bitch slapped to start off the show. Might be a break going on for the Texans right now. In regards to a team that they're going to be competing with to win the division. So we know that everybody is there outside of Eddie Vanderdoes for the Texans. In Tennessee, one of their key offseason signings was Vic Beasley from the Atlanta Falcons. They let Jarrell Casey, the 5-time Pro Bowler, leave for the Denver Broncos, or they actually traded him, and they brought in Vic Beasley to fill that void. Not the same position, but to kind of fill that void and rush the passer. Vic Beasley has not reported, and Mike Vrabel addressed the situation yesterday because when the opt-out deadline passed, Vic Beasley did not opt out, but he still wasn't in Tennessee getting ready for training camp. Here's Mike Vrabel talking about Vic Beasley's absence 5 weeks away from the start of the season.
Probably a lot of questions and concerns, you know, about Vic Beasley. I just want to address, you know, where we are with that. And me personally, you know, we're excited to see Vic when he gets here. Again, have not, he's not here. Everybody else is. He's under contract. We expect him to be here. But again, have not have reached out, have not had much conversation with him. You know, we still look forward to getting him in here and coaching him when he gets here and want him to be a part of the football team. So obviously, I'm hopeful that we can focus and I can focus on our football team and the guys that are here that are improving and the ones that we're coaching.
Has there been any further communications with the teams with Vic since John's statement a week ago?
Not for me, Teresa. That's where we're at with that.
Okay.
That's where we're at with that. Okay, so this is getting really interesting.
It's weird.
Like, you know, you can say, well, maybe he had, you know, he was hesitant because of COVID, didn't know if he was going to opt in, opt out, whatever. But that's not the case anymore. He did not opt out. That list is done. I mean, it's completely done. Now, that doesn't mean he still can't opt out with other, you know, I guess, ramifications. But nevertheless, man, I mean, it's not just about that. I think we can surmise that.
No, something's going on there. It's going to be strange, and he's going to be way behind. And he's already behind because he's learning a new system, and he hasn't even been in the building because of the COVID. So I don't know what's going on with Vic Beasley, but that would be a break for the Texans. If Vic Beasley's not ready to go, if Vic Beasley for some reason decides not to play for the Titans, already lost one of the leaders of your defense, that'd be a break for the Texans. The updated odds, by the way, in the AFC South, they are out. Texans are 3-1.
Mm-hmm.
They are the third favorite in the AFC South. The favorite right now, the Indianapolis Colts, followed by the Tennessee Titans, and then the Houston Texans are in third.
I've been saying it for a while now. Those Colts, they scare me. They absolutely scare me. The things they've done, the things they've been able to accumulate, the players that they have, I can't argue with it. I really can't with those odds.
I mean, you have the best quarterback, which is important, obviously. So the best quarterback is right here in Houston. But that's not a tiebreaker. I heard Vandermeer talking with Sean and Seth this morning, and he's like, well, I'll give it to the best quarterback. Okay, are you going to ignore the defenses?
You can't.
That's the thing. Like, I'm almost going to, and I think at 11 o'clock we need to entertain this. I'm going to stop voicing my concerns about the offense because the offense not being great is not an option.
Mm-hmm.
Given the attention that you've paid to it and given the resources you've thrown in, it's not an option. If this offense isn't great, then this team's going to be very – they'll be struggling to be 500 if this offense isn't great. If this offense struggles, they're in trouble because the defense is the problem. The defense is the issue. Like, that's the problem. That's the issue you got right there is the defense.
Yeah.
One of the worst in the league last year, and there's really not much that I see that makes me feel like it's going to be one of the better defenses in the league. I think this is going to be, at best, a defense that's – in the bottom half.
Yeah.
I think if this defense is near the middle, if you're talking about a 17th, 16th ranked defense, I think that'll be good for the Texans. But the offense being bad, it's not even an option. It's not even something that deserves attention at this point because we're doing what they've done and we're neglecting the defensive side of the ball, which is what they did all offseason, which is why the offense being bad is not an option.
You can't ignore the obvious. I think we're all assuming safely that the offense is going to be, you know, carrying this team. If the defense isn't top half, that's all we ask. I don't know about you. That's all I ask. Just top half. Just the top half of the NFL. 15 or better. I think this team's going to go places because the offense is going to be minimum top 10. If it's not, there are some severe problems.
Very, very serious problems.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's going to be an issue. It's really not an option. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you on a Football Friday. There's a new comedian in the Texans building. We're here from him, and there's a player that nobody's talking about that has to be the best version of himself or else things could get very, very ugly for the Texans next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, there's a new funny guy in town for the Houston.
Houston Texans. We've talked a lot about the defensive coordinator, Anthony Weaver, in his first year. Tim Kelly.
Funny how.
Second year offensive coordinator, first year play caller, and they have a new special teams coach as well. Brad Seeley retired, and his assistant, Tracy Smith, also known as TJ Tater Jr., he is the son of Carl
calling.
Tater Smith. He is the new special teams coach, and I got to tell you, he's a pretty funny guy.
Funny how?
He's just a funny guy. Here is a little bit of his media session. The coach of the third phase, if you will, first-year special teams coach, Tracy Smith, meeting with the media.
What kind of detriment is it going to be to not have those four games to help you determine who you want to play on your special team?
Thanks, John. Hey, John, I read your mailbag the other day. It was awesome. When everybody was saying why they were going to stop watching football, and you're just saying, might as well keep watching football if you want to do something on the weekend. The question, preseason.
Hey, Tracy, you guys bring back DeAndre Carter, obviously, but who else on this team do you think has some potential as a return man?
Is there a rule against not showing the face here, Aaron? I'm a little uncomfortable with this situation. All right. We'll let it slide. I don't know the Zoom etiquette for this room. This is my first time. DeAndre is obviously our returner, pun and kickoff. Kiki Kuti is going to get some chances. Randall Cobb has returned a ton of balls in the past. Will Fuller has a history. Duke Johnson has a kickoff returner. There's a lot of guys on the team, and we're going to use these next 4.5 weeks to sort that out before we really start to twist it in and get ready for the Chiefs.
Aaron Wilson.
Oh, Aaron, you're muted.
Yes.
Well, that was a good one.
Tammy Fairburn got a new contract, having John Weeks back, and also you did a new contract right after the regular season for Brian Anger, having all of them back in their different skill sets.
It's incredibly comforting to have veterans back in this particular environment, for sure, especially experienced guys. We're also kind of one positive test from who knows what, so we have to be ready for those scenarios as well. But starting off the season with three guys who know what they're doing is a great comfort. It'd be tough to have a drafted kicker, for example, or punter, snapper, all those things. I feel for the teams that are going through that situation.
And last one for John McClain.
Tracy, last time you guys were on the field, you made great plays on special teams to help build up a 24-point lead. Then you made some bad special teams plays. Have you forgotten about it with your players, or will you bring it up and try to help them learn from that experience?
Good question. There's no forgetting for the guys that were involved, for sure, and there's lessons to be learned for the ones that weren't here to show them what happened. And it's just an emphasis on special teams can swing the game, and you only have one shot. So we have to be prepared at all times.
Thank you for the time, Tracy.
Thank you.
No problem. Good to see you, O.
Boy, that guy owns the room, apparently, Tracy Smith. It's going to be interesting to see how they handle that punt return situation that you just heard him mention. DeAndre Carter just kind of penciled in the last couple years. But, I mean, last year, I know John McClain says he only made one mistake. He made more than one mistake.
Well, sure.
If you watched him. I mean, he fumbled against the Falcons, made it a one-possession game. He didn't catch the ball against the Colts in Indianapolis, and it bounced to the one-yard line. They had to take a safety because of it. And against Kansas City, you could already see stuff spiraling, but he fumbled the ball, and that's what happened. So ideally, in a perfect world, I think Kiki QT beating him out for the punt return spot and getting that fifth receiver, I think it not only would give you more upside on offense, I think it could potentially make you better on special teams as well. That's one of the position battles that I'm going to be keeping an eye on that we're not going to get to see as much, though, because there is no preseason.
Look, it's kind of like when you score an error versus a mistake in baseball. There are a lot of mistakes that aren't actually scored errors. They've had a lot of mistakes, more than just one mistake in that field. And they've had a good special teams. So you don't want to hamstring it. You know, you don't want to hurt it, and all of a sudden kind of, take a step back of all that good work that you've done with a returner that is going to be a negative. And so I think that's one of the absolute competitions that we have to watch. As you've known, as you've heard, Sean Pendergast is going to be inside the bubble. He's going to be watching these guys, every day. That's one. There's not a lot of competition, especially on the offensive side of the ball. There's not a lot of, position battles. the kick and punt returner is going to be a huge one that's going to go a long way during the season.
And I think the one guy that the Texans can't afford to have, you know, fall off this year is Kyami Fairbairn. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of people roll their eyes at kickers, but Fairbairn was damn near a Pro Bowler 2 years ago. Last year, I mean, his field goal percentage dropped 8% down to 80%, and his extra point percentage dropped 7% to 88%. There was a time where there were people wondering, you know, do they need to bring in a new kicker and compete with Kyami Fairbairn? Like, is there someone need to come here? And the craziness and the flukiness of the kicking position is such that guys like Kyami Fairbairn have fallen off very quickly. Like, it happens mm-hmm. a lot. And when it happens, sometimes there's just a spiral, and it'll cost you games. Like, it will absolutely cost you games. Fairbairn needs to be more what he was 2 years ago as opposed to this year. And not only would it impact this season, there'd be a snowball effect because they gave Fairbairn an extension. And if he does find his way, you know, on the outside looking in, and let's just say he develops the yips that we've seen many kickers develop, he's guaranteed $4.5 million in 2021. So you're going to be paying a kick. I mean, he has to be closer to what he was 2 years ago. And there were spurts in fairness last year where he was the guy that we've been used to, but just not being the Fairbairn, the good Fairbairn, and being bad Fairbairn, you can't afford to have that, especially with all the other question marks that you have on this football team. You have to be able to rely on Old Faithful there.
I feel like we've kind of have a little role reversal here because I was down on Fairbairn last year, and you kept saying stay with him, stay with him, stay with him. You were right. I still feel that they should have brought in some competition this year, but even if they do have another kicker, there's no competition. He's the guy because of what you're paying him. So it's kind of like a David Johnson thing. Because you're paying that money, you have to get that kind of production, you know, from him. So you're absolutely right. You need Fairbairn to be, you know, top 15, top 10 kicker in the league.
Top 15?
You have to.
I mean, he's got to be better than that.
Well, top 15, top 10. I mean, they're all kind of bunched together.
He's got to be even better than that.
But I'm saying they all kind of bunched together at the top. You know, everybody's pretty good. Everybody's good to very good, whatever you want to call it. But here's the reason that you really need Fairbairn to be good this year. You're going to play very close games. I hope they're all romps. I hope they're all double-digit wins. But they're not going to be. Because of this defense, because of some of the shortcomings you have, because of coaching plays, you know, Bill O'Brien coaches close games. He plays things closer to the vest. It's going to come down to kicks. You're probably 4, 5, 6 games are going to come down, maybe not at the very end, but I'm talking about like key kicks over the course of the game. Fairbairn is huge. Fairbairn has got to be able to produce.
Yeah, and I mean, he's the third highest paid kicker in the league right now.
Yeah.
I mean, he's making $4.4 million. And the problem that you have is next year it's going to be an interesting situation as well because he's got that dead money. So you're going to have to – you're going to need Fairbairn to be good. It's not an option. I know we take kickers for granted. It is not an option for Kyami Fairbairn not to be good this year and then next year. Next year, $4.25 million in dead cap, regardless of what happens. So you've got to feel good about him. There's times where you have. I didn't want to get rid of Fairbairn, but the bottom line is, of all the fluky things that happen in sports, great kickers falling off, it can happen very, very quick.
Yeah.
And we have gotten
We've seen it repeatedly here.
Fairbairn. Yes, we have. And you know? With that new contract, Fairbairn's going to have to go out there and do his thing. But the one thing he does have going for him, he's going to be laughing a lot because TJ, old Tater Jr., is holding it down at NRG.
I want a quick thing on TJ, as you call him, Tracy Smith. I think that's going to go a long way for his career. Not necessarily
his charm.
His charm, his clever nature, sense of humor. I mean, just think about it. You know, when a guy is well liked, when he's approachable, He tends to get a longer rope. You know, if look at guys that have been unproductive but had good personalities, they kind of hang around. Bill O'Brien's name is mud in this town because he doesn't show that side.
But he's hung around quite a while.
Well,
still doing his thing.
Some people like to mention that a lot.
There are exceptions to every rule. Football Friday here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig. There's something really, really, really strange going on in Corpus Christi and in the Bay Area. Really, really strange with the Houston Astros. And it has nothing to do with what's going on the actual field. We got to get to the bottom of this. And speaking of strange, one of the strangest experiences of my life yesterday. Tell you what that was next.
We're making the stories from outside the loop matter to you. This is Localize It, presented by Westside Lexus. You're in the loop on Houston's sports leader. Sports Radio 610.
Yordan drives one to center field, and this ball is crushed. Air Yordan. Now with direct flights to Hawaii, it's 3-0 Astros.
And grounded it to a double play. High, deep, four. Get about it. Four more on the board. We're no longer calling you Yordan. You are Roydon. R-O-Y. Could be the rookie of the year.
Something's going on in Corpus Christi with the Houston Astros, and we need to get to the bottom of it. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. That's not the weirdest thing going on. Something really weird yesterday happened, but we need to focus on the Astros right now. You just heard Todd Kalas, courtesy of AT&T Sports, with the play-by-play of Yordan Alvarez's two of his 27 bombs last year. Alvarez last year, the rookie of the year, despite playing in 87 games. And despite playing in 87 games, he had 27 homers. Good Lord. 78 RBIs. And he hit .313, slugged .655.
How many players have played 10 years of full seasons and never had those numbers?
There's probably a lot. But there is something going on with Yordan Alvarez.
There really is.
I don't quite know what it is, because we originally assumed that it was the COVID. But if you just follow the process of what Dusty Baker's been saying, there seems to be a little bit more going on. Let's go back to the original spring training when Dusty Baker was talking about Yordan Alvarez and the possibility. Keep in mind, this is when we thought there was going to be 162 games.
Yeah.
The possibility of Yordan Alvarez potentially playing in the outfield more.
I'd like to see him play a little more outfield.
Me too.
You know, but I've been told that, you know, his knees are barking sometimes. There's a reason why he doesn't get more work in the outfield, because if his knees are barking and he can't hit, then he's not doing us or himself any good.
So he's talking about the knees barking. Here's more from Dusty. So later on in spring training, he brought up the knees again in regards to the rookie of the year, Yordan Alvarez.
Yeah, he got scratched because, you know, he was a little sore today. So we didn't want to take a chance on him, you know, missing any extended time. So we decided not to play him in the outfield, decided not to DH him. Just give him, you know, a couple of days to get over some soreness. So he's okay.
Knee soreness?
Yes.
Which knee is it?
Both of them. I've heard he's had them for a long time.
So he's had knee soreness for a long time. So that was in spring training. Yordan scratched so he could rest the knees. This was after Dusty had already brought him up. So we know what happened and why the baseball season was put on hold. We're investigating what's going on with Yordan Alvarez. Second time around, second spring training. Astros training at the Juice Box. No Yordan Alvarez. We assume, based on the way that Dusty presented the information, that it was because of the Rona. He could not get in town, so it was because of the Rona. Here's the original update from Dusty Baker on why Yordan Alvarez was not in town the second time around.
Well, I was going to give Altuve a day off after Oakland, even though usually I don't like to give days off at home because of the home fans feel cheated from seeing their players, but this year don't matter. You know what I mean? And so it puts a little more pressure on me because we sent Jack Mayfield out. You know what I mean? So I'm kind of limited on players and limited on infielders. So.
Okay. Well, that was a Jose Altuve update. Dusty's original Yordan news was the COVID 19, the COVID, he has a condition that we haven't been able to deal with. That was the original Dusty thing. Yesterday, before the game, Dusty Baker was asked about Jose Urquidy. And we assume that Yordan's in Corpus Christi. He had talked about how he was taking live batting practice, how he was up to 30 swings.
Mm-hmm. 30 on the button.
30 on the button. Here's Dusty talking about Urquidy, and listen to what he brings up with Yordan Alvarez.
You said Urquidy was throwing, just like throwing in a live BP simulated game. How would you define what he's doing?
No. He just got off the mound today. This is his first time on the mound. Today or yesterday?
How's Yordan doing?
Versus flat ground. He's making progress too. He's taking batting practice and he's doing some running, which is a positive sign for his knees. And so the Calvary's a ways off.
That's not a good sign. The cavalry being a ways off. There are a lot of possibilities here with Yordan, and none of them right now appear to be good, right? I mean, let's start with what you first what we first heard right there. Could he be Sam Bowie? Could he be Greg Oden? Could he have just the kind of knee injuries? They had feet problems, I know that. But could he have the kind of perpetual knee injury that just prevents him from ever being anything more than a designated hitter and even affects him there as it is now?
Well, just listen to the original news, because this is originally what we thought. We thought the knees were a thing of the past. Maybe it was just a spring training thing. Just listen to the original news that Dusty gave when Yordan wasn't at camp.
As far as Yordan, it's in the same situation. He's another guy that, we can't say anything about other than, he has a condition that's preventing him from reporting to the field.
Okay. There you go.
And then all of a sudden the knees come back up.
Yeah.
I didn't even know the knees were a thing. When I hear Dusty Baker say yesterday, after Yordan being in town for 2 weeks or in Corpus Christi, that he started running, I didn't know that he hadn't started running.
No.
So he started hitting, and now he started running? Something strange is going on with Alvarez.
Yeah.
Something very strange with those knees. I don't know if there's some sort of degenerative issue. I don't know if maybe they're just extra cautious on it. But I originally thought it was just the Rona, and Yordan was trying to figure that out. Something strange is going on with Yordan's knees.
Definitely. Now, when we first, heard Dusty, that he had this condition that, he couldn't really talk about, the logical assumption was, it had to be COVID related or maybe some sort of quarantine or something. But it apparently was not, or if it was, it was not just that. It was the fact that that he's had some lower body knee type injuries or conditions, maybe degenerative, as you said, because if you can't even run, I mean, that's not a minor thing when you're playing baseball.
I don't ever want this guy in the outfield.
Oh, I'm starting to lean that way. I think he could be a possibility if he was relatively healthy, but he can't even play left field right now if he can't run.
Something's going on. We got to keep a close eye on it. Yordan Alvarez not here. The knees were brought up yesterday unsolicited. We just assumed it was trying to get back into baseball, but the knees were brought up by Dusty Baker, so there's something going on with Yordan Alvarez, and I'm starting to wonder when and if we're going to see Yordan this year. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. It's not the weirdest thing going on, though.
It's not?
No.
Pretty weird.
I didn't know what this was going to look like until I actually saw it. I mean, I almost felt like yesterday that I walked in on my parents having sex or something like that. That's how weird I felt yesterday watching what I watched. And it's something that I haven't
that
had
awkward?
To watch for nearly two decades.
You were that embarrassing?
I'm sure there's some loophole, 713-572-4610, who've walked in on their parents having sex. Can't say that that's happened to me. But there is something strange going on with Yordan. And it was strange to see Tom Brady talking with a Tampa Bay Buccaneers cap on in a press conference.
It was weird.
It was very weird.
We knew it was going to be weird, but it was even more weird.
I didn't even feel like I was looking at Tom Brady. Here is Tom Brady addressing the media types in Tampa for the first time, talking about how it's not only weird for myself and J-Lo, but it's also weird for him. What is the weirdest part, TB12?
You know, changing teams after a long period of time. It's been different having the opportunity, you know, over this time to, you know, move and then to, you know, for example, study my playbook. I mean, I really haven't had to do that in 19 years. So, you know, you forget, man, that's really tough. Like all the different terminologies and, you know, you're going back, you know, to really have to put the mental energy in, you know, adjust to the situation, adapt the best way you can, embrace the challenge and see it as an opportunity to see, you know, what we can become. You know, I've tried to catch passes in my career. I've tried to make blocks. I've had a few runs, but I'm not very good at any of those. I think my best ability is reading defenses and throwing the footballs.
I think the corniness of Tom Brady is just not as acceptable when he's in a Tampa uniform. It doesn't feel right.
Sure it does. It just doesn't look right because of that uniform.
It feels weird.
That's what he is. He's been like dad jokes since he was in his 20s.
But they're cool with the Patriots when he has Belichick with him. It's just weird now. Mm-hmm. Here's Tom Brady talking about when it will feel like home in Tampa. The answer is never, but let's hear him try to act like Tampa will ever be home to him.
That's a good question. I mean, you're trying to learn a bunch of different things, and you're trying to not only learn an offense, but learn your way to work, learn guys' names. You know, I didn't even know where the quarterback room was, you know, or the full team meeting room was. So you get in here and your brain's trying to figure out a lot of different things. So I'm glad we have time to prepare, improve myself so that I can be the best quarterback for this team that this team really deserves. These guys are working really hard, and you know, I want to come in here and do a great job for them.
Tom, thanks for taking the time.
Appreciate it, guys. Have a great day. Thank you.
All right, thank you. You're so polite, Tom Brady. Here is some vintage Tom Brady cheese during his first media availability with Tampa Bay. Weird, dude. Just so weird for me.
So some things that are out of your control, but, you know, that's a pretty good lesson for life, too. You don't have everything in control in life either, and the best you could do is prepare your body, prepare your mind for whatever comes at it. And then, you know, you have to always be able to adjust and adapt as best as possible.
You know, one interesting thing about Tom Brady with Tampa, and he mentioned this yesterday as well. He's never had anything but one playbook, and he's had to really, really, they're going to have to help him. You know, the Mike Evanses and obviously, you know, coaches and such. They're going to have to really help him. It's going to be a slow start for Tom Brady, and he is notorious for starting slow. At least the Patriots were sometimes.
That was weird. But what about Belichick? Because we know they've been a package deal for the last two decades. It was weird as hell. I equate it to someone walking in on their parents having sex, watching Tom Brady at the podium as a Tampa Bay Buck. What about Bill Belichick post-Brady? We know that the Patriots got hit with opt-outs more than anyone else. Here's Bill Belichick talking about those opt-outs.
Yeah, well, I respect all of them. I respect all the players on our team. We all have to make decisions. And you know, I talked to those guys, and they explained their situation. And, you know, they had to make the decision that was best for them. And I totally respect and support it 100%.
He's almost adorable at this point, too.
No, but that's about as...
I can't even take him serious.
About as candid and, like, perky...
Kind of weird.
...as you'll ever hear him.
Kind of weird. Maybe with lowered expectations, Bill
like,
Belichick
like, hey, yeah, sure, guys,
tight.
I'll talk about that.
Maybe he's not as tightly wound. Maybe Bill Belichick's, like, going to loosen up.
I mean, just listen how, like, perky and happy he
For
is.
For Belichick, yes.
Yes. He's like, hey, fellas...
Yeah, well, I respect all of them. I respect all the players on our team. We all have to make decisions. And you know, I talked to those guys, and they explained their situation. And, you know, they had to make the decision that was best for them. And I totally respect and support it 100%.
Got a little extra kick.
How about that?
And you know what else? He's doing commercials. So we're seeing Tom Brady in a Tampa Bay uniform. We're seeing Bill Belichick, for a good cause, by the way, scholarships for mm-hmm. student-athletes. Bill Belichick did the first commercial he's ever done. This was a commercial for Subway. He was asked about it. As if it couldn't get any weirder, Tom Brady in Tampa and Bill Belichick doing commercials.
What was the sandwich?
It's pretty good. It's pretty good. Yeah, I don't know. I think it's one of their super-dupers or whatever, but... Yeah, you know, I haven't ever done anything like that. You know, this is an opportunity to spend a day to be able to fund the initiatives that we have in the foundation. Yeah, it was a fun commercial to do, and everybody loves sandwiches, so hopefully I'll be okay with it. I know I'm going to get killed in the rookie shows on this. I know that's going to happen, but I'll just have to swallow it.
Okay.
Who are you, and what have you done with Bill Belichick?
I don't know what's going on.
Well, I mean, I don't know what's going on. He said fun like three times.
These guys used to strike fear in my heart when they're a duo, and now all of a sudden, you know, you separate these two things, mm-hmm. and I'm looking at it as meh. Which brings me to this question, J-Lo. What things in life are good together but not good when they're apart? 713-572-4610.
Well, these guys...
Good together, bad apart.
I would say sex is one. Dinner.
I'm not going to elaborate on that.
Dinner is good together, but bad apart. Why are you rolling your eyes at me?
And sometimes I wouldn't mind eating by yourself.
Well, of course. There's always exceptions. Travel.
Okay.
Travel is good together. Movies at the theater. And you have to say at the theater because I like watching movies at home by myself. You know, if you're just chilling, just watch a movie, really dig into it, kind of get into the writing and all that stuff and the meanings and all that. But movies at the theater are better together than by yourself.
I don't know, man. I think that LeBroning, I call it LeBroning because LeBron James has been known to go to the movie mm-hmm. by himself. I think going to the movie theater by yourself is fine. It's an overrated
date. But it's not as good
as
together.
But you can't talk on a date to the movies.
You can whisper.
I think going to the movies by yourself is underrated. Figgy?
Yeah. Nah, I agree with you.
Really?
Yeah.
I got two more.
If it's a movie you really want to see, you'll go by yourself.
Well, I'll do that at home then. I'll watch it at home. If I want to get into, all right, what's this all about? What are the other storylines? How did they get there? Because I'm all into the writing and stuff. You know, what are some of the things they did early in the movie that you can relate to late? Whatever. I got two more. 713-572-4610 if you want to add things that are better together than alone. Parallel parking. Yeah, I won't let it go.
For you.
I won't let it go. Parallel parking. If you have the perfect parallel park, it's a million times better if you're together than by yourself because nobody appreciates it. And the last one, and I've done this, and you just feel like empty, a great golf shot. Like a great golf shot. Like you're 175 yards away. You know, you're just playing by yourself. You pull out a 5-iron, just freaking rip that 5-iron to within 2 feet. And then you look around like, no one's going to believe that I did this.
And then when they're around, it doesn't
happen.
And
then when they're around, I hit the trees.
Moral of the story, Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, they've struck fear in the heart of any football fan outside of Pats Nation. Now it's just adorable seeing those two guys. It's kind of crazy. Kind of crazy to think that they're going to be here in November and you're going to see Bill Belichick without Tom Brady. It's strange. Knew it was going to happen.
Ooh, peanut butter and jelly.
But yesterday came full circle. Some people like just peanut butter. I mean, jelly by itself ain't nothing.
Jelly by itself's not good.
Some people say, Figgy said ketchup. Well, you ain't eating no ketchup with a spoon.
No, you did, though. You said it's awful by itself. Remember?
I think it was tomatoes. I think some people don't like tomatoes, but like ketchup.
I like tomatoes by themselves sometimes. You got to be in the mood.
You just eat tomatoes by themselves?
I have.
You put pepper.
I don't crave it, but I have.
That's crazy, bro.
A little pepper. Yeah, pepper's good. Okay. A little balsamic and pepper. I guess that's not by itself either, though.
No, it's definitely not.
Yeah.
Definitely not.
A little balsamic, pepper, slice of good tomato.
Less than 5 weeks away from training camp, Texans getting their work in right now. I'm going to stop being concerned about something that we've been concerned about. And speaking of concerns, Tennessee Titans just got some good, good, good news, which sucks for the Texans next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.